Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
My next guest is on the line. I'm going to talk to him just a moment. He is Robert Kabakoff. He's an author and actor. And I came across him as a blog for the Times of Israel. He wrote an article called Two Jews Walk into a Brooklyn Shoe Store. No joke, believe you or not. That is the title of the article. I read it. It resonated with me. The thrust of the articles was that it's time that we stood up for ourselves instead of just being victims. Robert Kabakoff, thank you so much for joining us on Chai FM this afternoon.
You're welcome. Thank you for the interest.
So I read your article. First off, to what extent was this tongue-in-cheek? To what extent were you serious?
I wouldn't qualify it as tongue-in-cheek at all. It's my style of speech. I'm always, I always have a sort of an edge of sarcasm or parody to me, but I'm dead serious.
So we've witnessed, as a Jewish community worldwide, we've witnessed Poway, we've witnessed Texas recently, we've witnessed Pittsburgh, lots of victimization. I've witnessed Jews in LA being beaten, eating sushi. I've been made aware of women being spat at in Brooklyn. And so this goes on and on and on and on. And not once have I ever seen somebody stand up for themselves. Do you think there's something fundamentally wrong with our culture?
Right.
That do you think
right,
we are
right.
Victims, born to be victims, and that's just the natural way of things?
Not at all. Not at all. It's a role. It's a role we... Can you hear me?
No, carry on. I can hear you well.
It's a role we've been cast in, and it's a role we embrace, and it's a role we can get out of.
Yeah, but fact is we haven't. And I just want to go to your article because you say very strongly, we're Jews, we don't defend ourselves. We have no honor. Shame doesn't bother us. We don't get angry. We whine and kvetch and beg for protection. Apparently, we're not obliged to suffer any losses in our own defense. Pretty strong stuff.
Close observation for a long time. And I don't have any joy in saying that. Believe me.
How does one alter the culture? How does one change? I mean, we're living in a post-1948 world. There's an Israel that kind of has tossed the image of the ghetto Jew on its head. Why is that not filtering down to diaspora communities?
What's your name?
Simon.
Simon, it's 20 centuries of conditioning we've got to get over. 20 centuries. I'm marking that since you know when, okay? It's not going to go away in one generation or in a half a generation. It may not even be two or three generations, but it has to start. And the way we start it is by facing it instead of rationalizing it, denying it, deflecting it, or in some distorted, perverted way, elevating cowardice to the status of a virtue.
And do you think that's what we do? Do you think that's what we do? Do you think culturally?
Absolutely, that's what we do. Anne Frank is our icon of the Holocaust. Anne Frank. Why pick Anne Frank? Why not Mordecai Anielowitz? There's a long list. Abba Kavna, Hannah Sings, the Bielski brothers. There are names I don't even know, but it's a long list. Why do we pick Anne Frank? God bless her, but she's not resting in peace. She's resting in distress that we haven't gotten the message, which is to don't be Anne Frank.
I can hear the passion in your voice. I can hear it and feel it. But it is interesting that this has become as topical as it is. Tell me about your experience being a Jew in the United States of America. Did you ever think you would be living in such times where you'd be experiencing the kind of events that we're seeing over the past 2 years?
I sleep with a loaded gun under my pillow. How's that?
That's perhaps just somewhat extreme.
Well, that's a little tongue-in-cheek. But that's tongue-in-cheek.
Do you think American Jews have been complacent? Do you think up until now?
Not me, and not a lot of others that I know. But the Klal, you know, it's the Klal, right? The global community of Jews, our zeitgeist, our culture, they don't support the warriors. We support the Anne Franks. So we perpetuate it. When you have a Rabbi Meir Kahana, whatever you think of him, he had balls. He stood up. He put it on the line. And no one supported him. They shunned him.
Because he was a racist and a bigot And for very good reasons, he wasn't supported. Let's not get into that because we won't agree on politics at all. But what we could agree on is the right for Jews to stand up.
Politics.
Yeah, but this was not a good guy. This was a man who was barred from running for the Knesset.
He was a great man.
His followers committed murder.
I was his follower. I was in charge of his security.
You know what
in
we're
New
gonna
York
do?
City
I'm sorry. I'm gonna
right after his
God. I'm gonna have to end it here. I didn't realize I was stepping into that sort of I just can't be part of giving a voice to somebody who is making excuses for Rabbi Kahana. Bit of a shame that the conversation went down that road. What I was talking about was Jews standing up for themselves given what's happening currently in America. My take on it is that they haven't. It's all very well to sit around and say kumbaya. That's a discussion that I was looking forward to having. To be a promoter of a racist rabbi was not something that I wanted to do.